Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Maggie and Perloff out on this Thursday. Zach Gelb here with you. And let's head out to the guest line right now and welcome in one of my favorites, former NFL MVP, and that, of course, is Joe Theismann, kind enough to join us on CBS Sports Radio. Joe, appreciate the time. How you been?
Always my pleasure, Zach. Great catching up with you.
So what was your reaction when you saw the news that Ron Rivera was going back to Carson Wentz and was benching Taylor Heinicke?
Wasn't really surprised. Taylor, in the last couple of games, had made a couple of mistakes, and I think he was on thin ice as it was. The football team is a different football team when Carson really started the season. The running game is more solid. Brian Robinson's given a big shot in the arm. The defense has really found itself. The wide receiving core is as good a complement as you're going to find in the league. And I think, you know, there's a couple reasons. First of all, you're paying a guy a lot of money. And you got to find out what you have to do in the future. What are you going to do in the future? I think Taylor did a terrific job keeping this team in a position to be able to have the opportunity to be able to get into the playoffs. And so, you know, I think Ron made the decision that he felt is best regarding what's going to be around the position.
I'm not a big believer in Carson Wentz, and I've been really critical of him. So let me just get that out of the way. But I look at these final two games. Cleveland is not a good team. And then who knows what the Cowboys have to play for next week. It's almost as if you say with Carson now, if it's not now, then it's probably never. But I kind of don't think this is going to be that much of a disaster these next 2 weeks.
I don't think so. And I don't think you can say never. Just look around the league, Zach. I mean, there's 90 quarterbacks on rosters. 15 give you a chance to play. I mean, you know, evidently he got run out of Indianapolis. What's their situation look like right now? I mean, you know, you look around the league and you say, you know, where do you find places for people who can play? I think it's important for Carson psychologically. I think it's important for the Commander fans and for the football team. He certainly has the ability to get it done. And now, you know, now the question is can you go out and deliver under duress? And the Browns, they've got two terrific running backs. Their defense is, I think, better than it was. You know, Deshaun's starting, the rust seems to be coming off a little bit. So this is a football team you can't look and say, oh, yeah, well, let's focus on the Cowboys. And by the way, the Cowboys, they catch an unbelievable break. Playing tonight, they get a mini break going into the last game of the season where they may be able to even rest more guys, and they'll be very fresh when the first round of the playoffs starts. So, you know, from a Commander standpoint, this is, you know, these are really the games you want to play in. Everything's on the line in this game.
I actually like this Commanders team when you look at the offense side of the ball. We know what they have on defense, but offensively, with Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, you talked about Brian Robinson. I'm a fan of Antonio Gibson. Just the quarterback, once again, is that unknown. So, like, Joe, I'll just ask you, what do you expect out of Carson these next two games?
I expect him to get the ball out of his hands quickly. I expect the running game to support him. And, he's just got to avoid the mistakes that Taylor was making. When you get down in a place to score, you can't fumble the football. You have to protect the ball. You know, he may throw an interception, maybe two. But it depends on where it happens and when it happens. That really depends on the future of quarterbacks. I mean, you look around the league, Derek Carr, holy mackerel, who knows where he's going or what he's doing. Atlanta's made a change. Pittsburgh obviously went with the younger guy. You've got all kinds of things going on around the league at the quarterback position. I think Carson just needs to be able to go out and get back in some kind of a groove. And having a chance to play last week was important because the rust, you know, get to knock the rust off a little bit, even though it's 9 minutes and you know, you didn't play a lot in critical situations. At least you got back on the field. You have a feel how your finger's going to feel. You have a feel how you feel getting knocked around a little bit. And he'll be in a much better state mentally.
You know, yesterday when we got the news about Derek Carr, I started to think about teams that Derek Carr could be on next year. And the first team I thought of was the Commanders. Could you see that being an option next year?
It's hard to tell. I mean, a lot of it, like I say, you got these 2 weeks. I mean, do they want to go with another veteran guy, or do they want to bite the bullet, look at the draft, and say, okay, we're going to go find ourselves a young quarterback, you know, like a Kenny Pickett, you know, like a Ritter. We're going to go look for that young guy that we feel like we can start to build the football team through. There's been so many stopgaps in Washington. It's just find somebody to come in, you know, Fitz and, you know, different individuals to come in and sort of fill the role for a limited period of time. I think it's almost time that they have to make a decision on the direction they want to go in and say, okay, we're gonna find ourselves a guy. They got in Sam Howell last year. Don't know if he can be the guy. But, I Derek becomes interesting. There's a lot of guys out there, again, that you can recycle. But do you really want to do that?
What do you think Derek Carr could be in this league?
I felt like he was a pretty darn good quarterback. I don't know what happened. I mean, you got a new coordinator. You know, the fact that they got Devonta, everybody said, whoa, what a difference it's going to make. One receiver doesn't make a difference. It does if you lose them. I don't think it necessarily makes a difference if you get them. And I say that, you know, you look at Aaron Rodgers, how they've adjusted towards the end of the season. You know, a lot more guys have stepped up. Watson stepped up. I think it's trying to get used to the system that Josh McDaniel runs. It was an adjustment period. And then, you know, I mean, the Raiders shouldn't even be in a position where they are if it wasn't for that craziness against New England, which is the most bizarre play I've ever seen in my life, to be honest with you. All these years I've been watching football, 60-plus years, never seen anything like that. I think he can play. Guys have to get right mentally. You know, it's the toughest position to play in professional sports. You don't get time off. You're getting beat up mentally, physically. You're under scrutiny on a constant basis. You have to, you know, you really have to think your way through it. A lot of guys can throw the football, but you have to mentally get yourself tough. I've always said this time and time again, and I've asked different guys around the league, what do you think is the most important element that an individual possesses to play professional sports? And constantly they say mental toughness. And that describes the quarterback position. You know, I mean, so he got benched. I don't know. Did he just leave the team?
That's the thing that no one knows. I'm going to assume that he left the team and the team was just okay with it because they're going to split with him anyway at the end of the year.
Well, you know, but you don't leave.
I agree.
You know, so you got benched, all right? So what are you going to do? Oh, I got benched, so I don't want to be here. Hey, you know, you signed a contract, didn't you? You have a contract for this year. I mean, that's my feeling. You have a contract for this year. Fulfill the obligations of the contract. You know, you go to the meetings, you sit there, maybe you're not going to dress. So what? You know, you've been benched. Are you the reason why the team's losing? Yeah, probably a contributing factor, but not the whole reason. There's so many other factors why teams lose games. But when I saw that he wasn't going to be around for the next 2 weeks, I'm scratching my head going, why? Was he hurt? Was he physically unable to perform? What's the reason why he's not going to be able to be on that football team for the last 2 weeks of the season?
Yeah, I think it's clear, Joe, his feelings got hurt a little bit, and that's why he's no longer a part of the team.
Don't play quarterback in the National Football League if you want if you worry about your feelings.
Two more before we let Joe Theismann run. Should Tua play again this season? Because now we're talking about multiple concussions. I know they said it's only two. It could have been three as well, if not more. Do you think Tua plays again this year?
I for the young man's sake, I hope not. If he's medically cleared and able to go, that's up to the doctors to decide. And certainly there'll be enough neurologists and different doctors that will look at him. When I was reported that he had another concussion, I started to worry about him going forward, because now it's not just one, or pause, like I say, they may even not even possibly two. could be more. And so if you start to become susceptible to that, I worry more about the young man than I do about the guy playing quarterback down in Miami.
Last thing that I'll ask you, Joe Theismann, Monday Night Football, Bills and Bengals. Who are you leaning towards on winning that game coming up on Monday?
The game's in Cincinnati. Buffalo's defense has been susceptible. Cincinnati seems very, very complete. I'm going with Buffalo. I think they have to contain, obviously, Josh Allen, the monster quarterbacker. But I'm going with Cincinnati.
And then one final thing. I lied to you. I had to ask you one more thing, and then we'll let Joe Theismann run. Yeah, that happens in our business. Talk show hosts say one last thing, and it's like nine more things. I promise this is the last one. The Patriots, when you look at what they're doing on the offensive side of the ball, I know that we all give Belichick the benefit of the doubt, but it hasn't worked. It makes zero sense, their approach with Matt Patricia as the offensive coordinator. Do you at all get what they did this year?
I know. You know, sharing anything, sharing the quarterback position, sharing coordinator positions. Thanks, guys. Sharing quarterback positions. Those are, you know, you need one voice, one play caller. Let's face it, New England wound up in the most unusual situation you could possibly be in. They never, they're almost a lock for the playoffs had it not been for that play with the Raiders. I mean, let's face it. I mean, that's just something like I've never seen. So, but it's football. It's crazy. But, having dual coordinators, to me, I think there needs to be one person and then the others contributing.
Joe Theismann, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Great being with you. Happy New Year.
You got it. You too. There's Joe Theismann joining us on CBS Sports Radio. Sounded like he was on the golf course a little bit, getting ready to tee off. I wonder where he is, because here on the East Coast, it's 5:11 p.m. Eastern. This time of the year, that's a pretty late tee time where the sun's most likely already down. So I got to assume maybe Joe was out on the West Coast and having a little bit of a what would be, a little bit with the 3 hours behind us. We don't need to get into the whole time zone and have me just stumble over myself. Anyway, Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, the car situation and the car departure. I wonder how teams are going to look at him leaving. Because there's one thing to get benched. There's another thing to just walk out of the building. And we don't know who suggested what first. Was it the Raiders that went to him and said, hey, we're benching you, which we know that was the case that did happen, and if you want to leave the team, you're allowed to leave the team. Like, why would the team tell him he could leave the team? Why would they be the first one to suggest it? So the only natural suggestion that I would have, or the natural implication and assumption I would have, is that Derek Carr did not want to be there, and the Raiders were like, all right, we're getting rid of him anyway at the end of the season, so let's just add more fuel to the fire here, and let's just say, okay, you could leave the team. But I do think that's a bad look. Even though you haven't been playing well, you're in a bad situation this year, to just flat out walk away from the team, if it was him not wanting to be there, that's a bad job. And what other assumption do you have to just say that he didn't want to be there? Because the team could have said, hey, Derek, if you want to leave, you can leave. He could have said, no, I'm going to stay here. Even though I'm not starting, we're going to finish what we started, and I'm going to try to contribute as much as I can. So I can guarantee you this, there will be a tell-all interview somewhere this offseason. An anonymous deep dive where it will end up being a hit piece on Josh McDaniels. Now, I'm not saying McDaniels doesn't deserve blame. He's been a disaster this year with the Las Vegas Raiders. He has been brutal. It's been abysmal. But you know when it gets that ugly, and this team was in the playoffs a year ago, and they really did like Rich Bisaccia, you know there's going to be quite a few people that would be willing to talk to members of the media anonymously about Josh McDaniels. And it wouldn't surprise me if Derek Carr makes one of those phone calls. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Let's take one right before the break. Let's go to Lou in Rochester. Lou, what's happening?
Hey, Zach. Listen, I think you were absolutely right yesterday that Carr can improve a number of teams. You listed a number of them. He can improve pretty much all of them because he's still worthy. He might not be great, but he's pretty good. I think that the coach and maybe Davis, the owner, I don't know, they totally blew this. They devalued him as an asset completely. It was unnecessary, as you might have suggested yesterday, because we already know what Stidham's play is like. It's not very good.
Lou, this is a financial decision. They don't think Carr is a good enough quarterback for them, which I could understand. I don't think Derek Carr is winning you a Super Bowl. And financially, if he gets hurt and he can't pass a physical by 3 days after the Super Bowl, for a guy that you're going to get rid of anyway, cut trade, you're going to owe him $40 million guaranteed. So I think they looked at it, okay, we're not going to the playoffs, even though we're not officially eliminated yet. So we're going to sit him down and we're not going to run the risk of him getting hurt and then have to pay a guy when we don't want a guy. That's what it is. It comes down to finances on this one.
You're probably right.
So
it's just crazy.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Lou. It's simple here. It's not that crazy. And I know it's kind of like I'm toeing the line here, but I don't think Derek Carr is a great quarterback in this league. Now, with that being said, you could still think he got a raw deal in Las Vegas and he's not the biggest cause of the problem in Las Vegas. But he's not, to me, someone that I look at and think I'm winning a Super Bowl. And if he goes to the Jets, are they winning a Super Bowl with Derek Carr? No. Can they get to the playoffs with Derek Carr? Yes. If he goes to the Commanders, is Derek Carr winning a Super Bowl with the Commanders? No. Can he get to the playoffs? Yes. Like, he goes to Tennessee. I don't think all of a sudden Tennessee wins a Super Bowl, but he could get them to the playoffs. And sometimes there are just guys in this league, and then there are the guys. Derek Carr, to me, is a competent quarterback. I don't think Derek Carr, with what I've seen so far, and how it just, he rides on the seesaw back and forth, he's someone that you win a Super Bowl with. Let's go to Steve in Indianapolis next up on CBS Sports Radio. Steve, go ahead.
Hey, we got a similar situation with Matt Ryan here in Indianapolis where we owe him a bunch more money and there's salary cap hits and stuff if he gets hurt and he's parked. I was surprised they brought him back because that was a consideration when we benched him, you know, weeks ago. But you were curious why he would literally, Carr would, quote, walk away from the facility as opposed to just being benched. And I'm wondering, you know, every once in a while you hear about some guy getting plowed into on the sidelines on the practice field. I don't know how contracts are run where he slips and falls in the shower or taking a sauna or something. I can see where if you're being ultra cautious and you got cap money and stuff because of an injury on the line, the absolute safest thing is not only are we benching you, we don't want you on Raiders property because there's some oddball chance that you could get hurt not even being suited up.
Steve, how long did it take you to come up with this idea and this theory?
I was just thinking of some plausible reason that instead of just saying he's... I mean, there's all kinds of quarterbacks.
So sit him in a luxury box, Steve. Come on! I feel like that was like a little bit of a comment in jest. So I'm not really going to take it that seriously, and that's why we'll just let Steve in Indianapolis run and not spend that much more time on it. But if you're... If your theory is that Carr could get hurt standing on the sideline, if that's the case, I would run the risk by saying, Derek, stay at the facility, and if you get hurt on the sideline, then and we have to owe you $40 million guaranteed, then we're okay with it. Or you could put him up in a luxury box or something. But he's got to be with the team still. Anyway, I got a chuckle out of that one. That was a creative thought from Steve in Indianapolis. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Derek Carr is not going to be only the only quarterback that's going to be on the move this offseason. We'll look at some other teams that'd be looking for a new QB1. We'll get into that list next.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or opossums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I saw Steve Tannen, who works at one of our great affiliates and hosts a show. He tweeted us, and he was saying that Joe Theismann, when getting told about Derek Carr leaving the Raiders, may have been because of his feelings getting hurt. He had the ultimate laugh out loud moment. That was a, you're right. There's no doubt about that, Steve. You are right. Joe Theismann didn't want to hear any of that crap, and I agree with him, but he asked a question, and that's the only logical explanation. I think Derek Carr is no longer with the Raiders because his feelings got hurt. And that's why I kind of say, in a media market like New York, why I'm not all that confident if Derek Carr is the next quarterback of the Jets, even though it'd be an upgrade from what you have now. I just don't know if he can handle the day-to-day stuff of the New York Jets. By the way, talk about Oregon. That bowl game last night, like, it's weird. I'm not that big of a bowl game guy anymore because the college football playoffs now are just so big. Where, like, years ago, you'd watch every bowl game. Now, you know, I was home last night and flipping around, and I said, okay, I'll watch some of these bowl games. But Oregon, on that extra point, how it was off the upright and then went in, that was just wild. And you also had last night Texas Tech just blowing out Ole Miss. So good for Joey McGuire and company. And that Kansas-Arkansas game, where Kansas was going for the two-point conversion after they had their crazy comeback, and how targeting was getting reviewed, and if the targeting wasn't called, then the game would have just ended like that, and the two-point conversion would have fell short. That was one of like the craziest things I've ever seen. I've never seen, because with football, you think you see it all. And usually when you see something that you've never seen before, it's some rule that you didn't know about. But I've never seen a game potentially end in overtime because of a targeting call if it was picked up and they said it wasn't targeting. But they eventually did call it targeting. Then you got the two-point conversion that was good. But that last play by Kansas, as Arkansas ended up winning 55-53 in the three overtimes, it ended up being the two-point conversion off. When I saw the final play by Kansas when I was watching it, I know you're getting a little bit trickery and you're trying to get cute, but to take the ball out of Daniel's hands, I just, with the game that he was having, and you take the ball out of Jalen Daniels' hands, I didn't get when he was in the midst of throwing for 544 yards and five touchdowns, and he also had a rushing touchdown as well. I'm letting him be either the guy that is the reason why you don't get in the end zone running it or throwing it. And with the trickery that you had, and the throw wasn't even that at all close. Like, you know, I know it's for a basketball analogy, but Carlton from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, when he's in the gym and he does the half-court shot or the game-winning shot, and it was nowhere close and it was so off. If that was the gift for basketball, then the two-point conversion play that Kansas ran is the Carlton from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air moment from what we saw last night, because that wasn't even close to being a completed pass. So those are some of my reactions last night from some of the bowl games. I see that in the Pinstripe Bowl right now, the Bad Boy Mowers. Oh, this is now the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl. How about that? I didn't know that. It is Minnesota 28, Syracuse 20, with 50 seconds left. Where here I will go on my media rant. I really hope Minnesota holds on, because the last thing I need is with all the alum that are Syracuse grads that are in the media infiltrating all the airwaves everywhere. Anytime Syracuse does something in basketball or football, it's just like a slobber fest on Twitter. It's insufferable. And Emmanuel Babari is shaking his head as no, you know, as if you agree with me as well and that you can't stand the Syracuse grads.
They come out of their shell. They don't care. They just tweet whenever they see some final score, and then they all frenzy on Twitter as if they've been following the team all year.
And it can be a very arrogant institution from time to time. Now, let me just say, my uncle and my aunt both went to Syracuse. They met at Syracuse. I have to like Syracuse to some extent. But some in the media, whenever Syracuse wins a football game or Syracuse wins a basketball game, you would think as if they just won some national championship. It's insufferable.
Yeah, and I have plenty of friends who went or have gone to Syracuse, and I just don't like how they all come out of their shell. Now, granted, if Fordham was good at
these
sports,
just gonna say,
it would be the same deal.
You have like a little bit of an arrogant institution as well with Fordham.
Right. If we had something to brag about.
Say it again.
If we had something to brag about, we would.
Yeah, the basketball team's good.
Yeah, the basketball team is good right now. Football is competitive year after year, but no one's going to like flex about, oh, hey, we won a Patriot League game.
Yeah, that is true. But no, I just say it. I love your AD, by the way, Eddie Cole. But the reason why I said Fordham's a little bit arrogant is just because Bogish is here. And Bogish, like, he needs to tell everyone that he went to Fordham and Emmanuel went to Fordham and everyone else went to Fordham. And I guess I kind of do with my university as well, but there's not a lot of other people here in this station that are, well, I don't think there's anyone else here at this station that's a Temple grad.
What the Syracuse alum does for football and this Pinstripe Bowl and games like this, a Fordham alum will do for, like, hey, we went there. Like, yeah, hey, here's our media legacy.
And it's a pretty damn impressive media legacy.
Right.
Same with Vin Syracuse, Scully and Mike Breen. With Vin Scully and Mike Breen. So you got names. Who else went to Fordham?
Ryan Rucco.
Okay.
Spiro Dedis.
Okay. It's a lot of people.
Tony Reale.
Oh, that is right. That Tony. Does he do some basketball games still from time to time?
I think so. Bob Papa.
Oh.
Chris Carino.
How about that? I like Chris Carino. Chris Carino's a good dude. And Emmanuel Babari.
Yeah, not in that territory, but I'm there.
And Bogish, of course. Bogish, big deal there.
Right.
Bogish, a really big deal there.
Really big deal because he still does all the games.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I do see him on my television from time to time doing games.
Students do the radio, and Bogish does the TV.
Yeah, people think I hate Bogish. I just like to poke fun at Bogish.
So. Yeah, it's like Hickey.
No. There's more respect for Bogish than the respect I have for Hickey.
It's hatred with Hickey. Yeah.
Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. All right, let's break on time. When we come on back, we'll end the show out with some teams that could be looking for quarterbacks this offseason. Also, Jerry Jeudy with the defense of Russell Wilson. And I promised I was going to get to this yesterday, and I lied to you. I didn't get to it. So we'll get to it today. I got to play you some of that Mike Gundy sound from yesterday with his little kerfuffle, talking about arrogance, an arrogant kerfuffle with a reporter where I thought he was in the wrong. So we'll get into all that on the other side. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. The Zach Gelb Show comes your way at the top of the hour. Many of the same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. I will not be hosting the Zach Gelb Show today because I'm in here for Maggie and Perloff. Carrington Harrison is going to be entertaining you for the next 4 hours. Anyway, I got a chuckle out of Jerry Jeudy. So Shannon Sharp was talking on, what's it called? Not First Take. I want to call it Hot Take. What's the name of that show on Fox that Shannon Sharp does with Skip Bayless?
First Things First?
No, isn't that the Nick Wright show? What's the name of the show?
Undisputed?
Undisputed, thank you. You could tell I'm a big-time watcher of that very fine Hot Take program. But anyway, Shannon Sharp was doing a segment with Skip Bayless, and I watched this on social media because I saw what Jerry Jeudy posted. And I guess Shannon Sharp was pointing out that Russell Wilson has his own office, which people have been talking about. He has his own QB coach and all that that's in the building. And basically, Russell Wilson, or Shannon Sharp, was saying the new coach that comes in has to lock that office and say, Russ, like, you have to be a part of the team. You don't get your own office anymore. So Barstool Sports put out this article. Russell Wilson apparently has his own office and private parking spot at the Broncos facility. So Jerry Jeudy saw this. And Jerry Jeudy went on, I guess you could say, a little bit of a Twitter rant. First tweet was, I'm not going to keep looking at these false statements about my boy Russ, man. As a teammate who sees the elite work ethic this man has is incomparable. He got an office because he's committed his life to this game. I've never had a teammate who motivates me more than Russ. Okay. So you want to say that? That's fine. Just tired of the media trying to portray some. It's not got the whole world fooled. So these are more tweets that are coming out. If you don't know someone personally, don't speak on them. And then also saying, but we all know it's because we are losing. As soon as we start winning, all the extra poop emoji is out the window. But that is the lame, i.e. world we live in. So that is what Jerry Jeudy had to tweet. I don't think the conversation about Russell Wilson is unfair right now. And I'm not in the locker room. I'm not a teammate of Russell Wilson. And I respect Jerry Jeudy when everyone's kind of just knocking Russell Wilson around as if he's a pinata at a birthday party is coming to his guy's defense. But all you need to know about Russell Wilson, and I'm not saying that the Legion of Boom gets the benefit of the doubt and all those former Seahawks players get the benefit of the doubt, but a lot of those players have said the same things. A lot of those players were annoyed about the ego of Russell Wilson. Heck, we had KJ Wright on. And he said kind of what played out this year is kind of validation of what we thought in Seattle about who really won those championships. Now, some of that could be stupid because you got to win them as a team. But right now, Russell Wilson's image, and deservedly so, has taken a big hit. Because Russell Wilson, and even KJ Wright, when he was on with us, he said he's got to check his ego out the door. And I don't know if Russ is capable of doing that. I'm not saying Russ is a bad guy. I don't believe Russ is a bad guy. But I think Russ right now is so caught up in being an icon, is so caught up in being a star, that he forgot about why he wanted to leave Seattle in the first place. Russell Wilson, when he went on the Dan Patrick Show, and this all started in 2020, he said he's tired of not getting back to the Super Bowl. He wants to go down as one of the all-time great quarterbacks and win more Super Bowls and get to more Super Bowls. Well, you could say that, but everything you've done since then suggest that you're really only kind of focused on the brand of Russell Wilson. So I get Jerry Jeudy, when you see your teammate taking a beating, wants to go defend him, which is fine, and I'm not going to go after Jerry Jeudy for that. But I don't think the narrative surrounding Russell Wilson right now is that far off. And how people are just spewing lies, and this is, oh, the bad old media. And then you end it by saying, we all know how this is going to end, and when it ends is when we start winning again. But yeah, when you're like, there's a lot of athletes that have gone about things the wrong way, and when they win, it kind of covers up what's going on. But when you're losing and you're doing the wrong thing, it just adds more fuel to the fire of what is the circus right now of the Denver Broncos. So sure, if Russell Wilson right now had his own office and Russell Wilson was doing those crappy commercials, and Russell Wilson was all about himself, but the team was winning? It's not that big of a story. But not only is the team losing right now, it seems like a lot of guys don't respect Russ in that locker room. And you've seen a lot of things on the sideline that suggest that. And you know that there's a lot of frustration with this team when they're fighting on the sideline publicly for all of us to see. So I don't believe this narrative is that far off and, oh, it's the media just coming together and making a bunch of lies about Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson was a very likable person a few years ago. I don't dislike Russ. Let me be clear. Let me be abundantly clear on that. I like Russell Wilson. I used to be a big Russell Wilson fan. But the last year, he's just kind of lost me because he's been very fake. Even last year, we all knew you wanted out of Seattle. And we all knew you weren't going to get traded because of the dead cap. But we knew last year was going to be his last year in Seattle. And you and Pete Carroll, yeah, our relationship's stronger than ever. Like, come on. No one actually believed that. No one actually thought that was genuine. And in reality, your own insecurities because of the past where when you won a Super Bowl, everyone's talking about the Legion of Boom, Marshawn Lynch, Pete Carroll, you wanted to be the guy that when you won a Super Bowl. Didn't want to let you cook to a point where you're throwing the football 50 times a game. He was letting you throw the football a little bit more, but the interceptions went up. And it seemed as if you had a good situation in Seattle with DK and Tyler Lockett that you could have found the middle ground. That you could have cooked a little bit more, could have thrown the football a little bit more, but not to a point where Pete thought it was going to be detrimental to the team. But clearly, there was no meat in the middle moment there. And Russ knew he was done with in Seattle heading into that final season. And he knew he was going to go somewhere else, but where he ended up going to, it wasn't an upgrade. He was in, I don't want to say a five-star hotel because the Seahawks as late were in a five-star hotel, but he was in like a very nice hotel, a very reputable hotel. He's in like a four-star hotel, but he wanted to go to the Four Seasons. And then that quest to go to the Four Seasons, he thought he saw something that was the Four Seasons that wasn't the Four Seasons. And then that's where he elected to go rent out a little bit of a hotel space for the future. And there's been roaches. There's been just bad pillows. What you thought you were getting is what you're not getting because you got so caught up in trying to be someone that you're not. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. So that was the stuff on Jerry Jeudy. Before we get to some teams that are going to be looking for new QBs at the end of the year, I want to play this Mike Gundy stuff from yesterday, or from a few days ago. So this was Mike Gundy after his football team, Oklahoma State. They lost their bowl game to Wisconsin. And I thought a reporter just asked a question about some potential staff changes. And this was the exchange between Mike Gundy and this reporter. Listen up.
So staff changes are starting to happen earlier and earlier now with the portal being a thing. Do you anticipate making any changes to your staff between now and next season?
Do you think I would tell you if I was making staff changes?
No, but I have
well,
to
then
ask.
Why would you ask?
Because I have to. It's my job.
Okay, well, I might have to cut you out. I mean, don't be an ass. Really? I mean, those people's lives, man. Those people's families, right? Okay, don't mess with people's families. Let's do this the right way. You with me on this? It's not fair to people's families, man.
Right, that will conclude our press conference.
And I'm not mad about the game. I just don't like ignorance.
I think it's a bad look for Mike Gundy. Now, I understand the question. I get the question. You're asking if there's going to be staff changes. As a reporter or as someone that has asked difficult questions before in press conference settings or on this show or on other shows on CBS Sports Radio, you sometimes have to ask difficult questions. And when you ask difficult questions and you get a response like that, it probably does mean that there's going to be changes. But no coach wants to make changes because you are dealing with people's livelihoods. You are dealing with people's families. And I don't expect Mike Gundy in that moment to say, okay, we're firing this person, we're firing that person, we're firing this person. But there's a better way he could have handled that. Where when he's asked that question, all he had to say was, we're going to evaluate everything in the coming days and then we'll make decisions from there. To threaten the reporter and to basically imply that you're going to revoke his credential, like, give me a break. He says, don't be an ass, coach. You were being an ass there. Come on. I thought that was so lame of Mike Gundy. It was really lame. And I saw the reporter afterwards, like, because you know what happens. The crazy Oklahoma State fans who may agree with him or maybe not. But just when I mean crazy, it's just college football fans. We're all nuts when we watch this stuff. I'm sure there was enough people that started tweeting this reporter and the reporter got nervous because maybe he was getting dragged and he had to issue what was kind of an apology but not an apology. You don't have to apologize for anything. You asked a fair, legitimate question. And I've been in that spot before. Not that it was over necessarily a coach getting fired, but I had to ask a coach once about a player that I had a story about that was getting let go of a team. And let's just say the coach was annoyed that I asked about it, but through time he understood why I did ask about it. Because like in that moment, the coach doesn't want to answer the question because it's a difficult question to answer. But you eventually have to answer the question. And when Mike Gundy, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'll end up being right here. So we'll see. But when he actually reflects on that, I got to think Mike Gundy has to know down deep that the question wasn't out of line. And all Mike Gundy did, even when you don't like the question, he just added more attention to that situation. And it doesn't make him look good. If you got to ask a question, you don't like the question, but you understand it's a fair question, that was a fair question to ask, all Mike Gundy had to say was, hey, we're not going to talk about potential staff changes right now. Or I haven't had time to evaluate what I'm going to do. It's not the answer that you want to hear. It's not a great answer, but it's better than whatever crap that he tried to pull off after that bowl game. Anyway, the biggest story of the day, which we led the, or we, we've been talking about all throughout the day, was Derek Carr yesterday, as you know, getting benched by the Raiders. That's going to basically signal the end of the Derek Carr era with the Las Vegas Raiders. He's not even with the team. I've been suggesting that Derek Carr is going to wind up with the Washington Commanders. Other people have been saying the Jets. Some people have been saying Tennessee. There's been a few destinations that have been the hot button topics in terms of where Derek Carr is going to wind up next. When you look at teams, and we'll just go through all 32 real quickly, teams that are going to need new quarterbacks next year. Bills obviously know. Dolphins, but we'll see what happens with the long-term health of Tua Tagovailoa. So I guess you can't rule them out, but I would anticipate Tua starting next year. I think Max back with the Patriots. The Jets are going to have a new quarterback. So the Jets are a definite one. In the AFC West, we know the Raiders are definitely one. Russell Wilson's going to be back. Herbert, Mahomes, obviously great. AFC North, Watson, good. Pickett, good in terms of returning next year. Burrow, obviously. I wonder if Lamar is on his way out. And if he is, it's because Lamar doesn't want to be a Raven anymore, or the Ravens just aren't going to pay him what he thinks he's worth. But I would think that Lamar next year is going to be back with the Baltimore Ravens for one more go around that. And if they don't get a contract done this offseason, they could franchise tag him again. But then I would be very surprised if they end up getting a long-term deal done. In the AFC South, Tennessee, you got to think, should have a new quarterback. The Colts are going to have a new quarterback. The Texans are going to have a new quarterback. So those are some teams that are going to be looking for new quarterbacks this year. In the NFC East, I got to think, even if Wentz wins these next two games, I don't think he should be the starting quarterback next year. And I do think Daniel Jones back to the Giants. Obviously, Hurts and Prescott are more than safe in the NFC East. In the NFC West, 49ers are fascinating. Because I think Brady's going there. Brock Purdy is playing well. He drafted Trey Lance. Jimmy G will be elsewhere. I do think Geno Smith is back with the Seahawks. Rams, Stafford's coming back. Kyler Murray, they're going to need someone until he's able to come back. Vikings, Kirk Cousins back next year. I think Jared Goff is back. I think Rodgers is back. Fields is obviously back. In the NFC South, I think you're going to have four new quarterbacks there next year. I think Brady's gone from Tampa. The Panthers obviously going to be looking for a quarterback in the draft. Saints are going to be looking for a new quarterback. And Desmond Ridder hasn't really shown me much to make me think that he's going to be starting for the Atlanta Falcons next year. So when we go through all 32 teams, that's how you kind of evaluate where those teams stand for their quarterback situation next year. As you know what the names are. Carr is going to be available. Jimmy G is going to be available. Brady is going to be available. And then there's always this thing called the NFL draft. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Tomorrow I'll be back in this time slot, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, for a big Football Friday show. Hudson Mason will join us as we will preview Georgia and Ohio State. We will then have Leroy Horde join us, the former Michigan running back, as we will preview Michigan and TCU. And Leroy now does a talk show, Leroy Horde, in Miami, so we'll get his thoughts on the Tua Tagovailoa situation. Big thanks to KJ Wright for stopping by. Big thanks to Joe Theismann as well. Big thanks to each and every one of you on the phones. You can always give me a follow on Twitter and Instagram, at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. Big thanks to Emmanuel. And we'll be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern. The Zach Gelb Show without Zach Gelb is coming up next. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
Drop everything and hurry to the Xfinity Hello 2023 sale. Now through January 10th, learn how to get $500 back with Xfinity Internet and two lines of Xfinity Mobile. Visit Xfinity.com/Hello2023 today. Restrictions apply. Xfinity Internet required.